Well, amen. Praise the Lord for the special music again. What a blessing that's been today, just coming together and being able to sing congregational songs and then been ministered to by the specials. What a great job the choir's done, the special music. It's just a blessing to know that you can come to church and hear music that honors the Lord and to be blessed by that. And it has been a tremendous blessing. Thank you. All right, at this time, we're going to be looking to the very words of God and how important that is for us to understand what we do when it comes to the preaching time. We have God's word written down, preserved by God for us, and we open it up and we read it, and we just want to try to better help you to better understand what thus saith the Lord. And the church has been established to represent the Lord, and the doors are open to anyone and everyone. We want to compel as many that will come so that they can hear the truth and possibly do the most important thing that anyone can do this side of heaven, and that is to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. That's the most important thing. That's the great commission that we've been given, to go into all the world and to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then as we come to church, we're able to hear more, be discipled, and grow as we grow in our faith and understanding of God's will for our lives. And so thank you for being in services today. If you have your Bibles with you, I'd like for you to look with me to the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 7. Now, if you were here for Sunday school, we're going through and studying on Moses, some of the highlights of Moses' life in the book of Exodus, where he is leading the nation of Israel out of Egypt, the place of bondage, and leading them to the promised land. Now, the promised land is not symbolic of heaven. It's symbolic of the will of God for your life. And once you get saved, it's what we need to do is find the will of God for our lives. God has a perfect will for your life, and you just need to seek the Lord. He wants you to understand that. And so that's what we study there. And now we're looking into the book of Joshua. And as Moses led them up to the promised land, he was not able to lead them into this promised land. It wasn't God's will. But God established Joshua to be the one to lead the nation of Israel into the promised land. And so at this particular time, we find that they had seen the hand of God work in parting the Jordan River. And then we've seen the hand of God at work in destroying the walls of Jericho and giving them this great victory at Jericho. And then we come to chapter 7, and when they face a battle with Ai. And so if you'll stand with me, we're going to be reading this, chapter 7 of Joshua, verses 1 through 4. The Bible says, "But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth-Aven, on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, and saying, Go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, Let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all of the people to labor thither, for they are but few. So there went up thither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate even unto Shebarim, and smote them in the going down. Wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the eventide. He and the elders of Israel put dust upon their heads. And Joshua said, Alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us unto the hands of the Amorites, to destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side, Jordan. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it and shall environ us around and cut off our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do unto thy great name? And the Lord said unto Joshua, Get thee up. Wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Israel hath sinned, And they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen and dissembled also. And they have put it even among their own stuff. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you anymore, except ye destroy the accursed thing, the accursed from among you. And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we do bow before you once again, and Lord, it's been a blessing to be in church today. Thank you for this privilege and this opportunity, and for all that took advantage of the opportunity they had to be here. And God, as we now bow before you, we acknowledge that we're a needy people. And God, we need to hear from you today. And I just pray that you might once again meet with us as you have promised to do so. I ask, God, that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Well, again, after the great victory at Jericho, the nation of Israel failed miserably in their battle against little-known Ai. Well, in verse 7 through 9, we find here that Joshua was in shock, and his mind was racing. If you read verse 7 and 9, you can tell he didn't know what was going on. His mind just trying to figure out what's happening. I never expected this, and how could this happen? And so some of the things he says there does not even equate with Joshua and the faith that he had in God. But we find that he was somewhat in shock. And then God addressed Joshua. Verse 10 through 12, we've read this, and he basically tells them to get up. And God's response, if I can paraphrase it, was this: you didn't do it my way. You should have known that you would have failed if you didn't do it my way. And when you acknowledge the fact, when you realize that you had failed, then instead of crying about the failure, you should have realized, I didn't do it your way. And so in that, God says, and the Lord said to Joshua, get thee up. Wherefore liest thou upon thy face? If you really think about it, there's no need to pray about it, because you understand what I commanded you, and you understand that I'm able to fulfill whatever I've promised. And so if I didn't fulfill my promise and you failed at doing what I commanded you to do, it's because you didn't do it my way. What a great message. What a great thought. As we study Joshua and God dealing with Joshua. And I wonder this morning, are we doing things God's way? See, I'm having trouble with my marriage. I'm having trouble in the relationship with my husband or the relationship with my wife. The first thing you need to stop and do, if you're saved, if you're a child of God's, you need to stop and think for a minute, are we doing this God's way? If you're struggling with raising teenagers, you can cause a lot of heartaches to your family. I guarantee you that. If you're struggling raising teenagers, one of the things that you have to stop and do, first of all, is, am I doing it God's way? We're praying and crying. We don't understand why that they're not doing exactly what we want. And one may be doing right, one's doing wrong. And we're trying to, God, what's going on? And are you failing us? And our testimony is at stake here. And God might be saying to you, wait a minute. Get up off your face and realize you're not doing it my way. Do we have financial difficulties? Are you having a problem paying the bills? It could be that you have four or five charge cards that once you went out and went on a spending spree, the idea is eventually you have to pay for it. And you're crying out to God and you wonder, why aren't you meeting our needs? Why is it that I'm not able to pay my house payment? And why are we struggling to put food on the table or whatever it might be? Can I ask you, instead of crying and falling on your face, it might be that God is telling you this morning, get up off your face and realize you're not doing things the way I have commanded you to do things. And if you're not doing things the way that I command you to do things, do not expect for me to fight your battles for you. The battles are the Lord's if we are the Lord's. No matter what it is that we're facing, no matter what battle it is that we are engaged in, if you're a child of God's and you're doing it exactly the way God told you to do things, you are the victor. You can conquer whatever it is that you're facing today. But are you doing it the way that God says to do it? You see, the reason they lost, verse 1, but the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing. God says, don't take of it. And he took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. His sin, I love this idea, there was sin in the camp. And whether the rest of the nation of Israel realized it, no doubt there was some that would have understood and would have realized it. But whether they did or not, because that was a family and they were together as God's family, and they were together in the camp of God, when there is sin in the camp, when there's somebody that is doing wrong in the family, if not everybody is looking to do it God's way, and we fail to do it God's way, then you can't expect God's blessings on the whole. Can't expect that. And so the reason they lost is there was sin in their camp. Ecclesiastes 9, let me just read it to you here. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 18 says this. I love this verse. Wisdom is better than weapons of war. Now that's powerful right there. The wisdom is to know God. The wisdom is to look to God. Don't look to hand grenades and tanks and all that to win the battle. Now, he might work through that if you're fighting a war, a physical war. But listen to me, it's the wisdom. It's understanding that God, if you're on the side that God's on, that's on the winning side. If you're on the side that God's against, you're going to lose. As we preached last week, God does not lose. And so we find here the idea of wisdom is better than weapons of war. But then it goes on, it says this, but one sinner destroyeth much good. Yeah. We find that. This sin, there was sin in the camp. We find here that Achan's sin, this would represent a lack of belief. That's what it represents. Achan could not have truly believed, for he had heard what Joshua said. Joshua had instructed them. He said, God has told us that we are not to take of the spoil of this Jericho. God has said, this is how we are going to get the victory at Jericho. This is what God expects out of us. Now, Joshua relayed the message of God to Israel. And we find here that Achan heard Joshua, but did not have enough faith to believe that what Joshua was saying was actually coming from God. Because he knew that he might be able to do it and get by with it without Joshua finding out about it. But if he truly believed in God, he should have understood, and he would have understood, God sees it all. Your sin will find you out. You cannot get by with sin when it comes to God. God sees it. If he had faith to understand this is what God says, then he would have had faith to say, I am not going to go against what God told us to do. Because if I go against what God told us to do, I'm on the losing side. So Achan's represented a lack of belief. Little faith makes us easy targets for temptation. And Satan is a great tempter. If you question what God says, it will be easier for you to justify doing what God says not to do. If you question whether or not he said it. Isn't that how Satan kind of worked on Eve in the very beginning? No, really, God didn't. You took it wrong, Eve. He didn't really mean that you were not to partake of the fruit. And he tried to tempt her to take the fruit and tried to disguise it as if God didn't tell her that she couldn't have it. Can I tell you, if you do not know for sure what thus saith the Lord, if you're just taking the preacher's word at it, or you're just taking religion's word at it, when it comes time and there's a great temptation, you're able to say, no, that preacher doesn't know what he's talking about. He doesn't know it all. And if you don't understand that it's not what the preacher said that matters, it's what Almighty God says that matters, and you're able to justify saying, no, I don't think God really meant that. And the world is telling you today that, you know, you can do whatever you want. Let grace cover whatever multitude of sins, and you can sin and do whatever you want. And that's not what the Bible says. As Paul answered them in the book of Romans, he said, no, no. Grace is not there for you to justify your sin. You can't justify sin. If God says don't do it, then don't do it. If you do what God says not to do, do not expect God to fight the battle for you. Don't expect to be victorious in battle. Don't expect to be more than conquerors. Amen. God forbid. Not giving us a, some say, well, you Baptists, you believe once saved, always saved. Well, I don't know if just the Baptist, that's just what the Bible says. Oh, you believe, you just want to justify living however you want to live and still be saved and go to heaven. No, I'm not justifying that at all. That's not what the Bible says. You see, if you're truly saved, then God will change you from the inside out. And the desires within will change. And God will lead you to do right. So they, little faith, their sin represented a lack of belief. And then we find the same thing, they took God's power for granted. You see, they were all in going over Jordan. They were all in going up against Jericho. Come to Ai, oh, we got this. Now, everybody, you guys rest, you know. We're just going to take a small portion of the army up here, and we'll just take this lightly, and we'll go up and we'll defeat Ai. They went up half-heartedly without making sure that things were right with God. I don't see anywhere that they prayed about, God, how many should we take up with us? God, we're asking you to give us this victory at Ai. I guarantee you they prayed coming out of Egypt. They prayed going against Jericho. But when it comes to Ai, I think if they would have prayed, God would have said, wait a minute, no, I'm not going with you because there's sin in the camp, before they ever went up against Ai. Verse 3 it says, and they returned to Joshua and said unto him, let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people go, people to labor thither, for they are but few. Should not be a problem at all. And it would not have been if they had the hand of God upon their lives. If they were doing what God told them to do, it would not have been a problem. But verse 12, the Bible says, therefore the children of Israel could not stand. Could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you. God's telling us today the very same thing. Neither will I be with you. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're the pastor of the Lighthouse Baptist Church or not. Neither will I be with you if you take my power for granted. Lord, help me never to take your power for granted. I never want to stand behind this pulpit thinking that I've got this, because I don't. It's spiritual battles. It's a spiritual battle all week long in preparing. It's a spiritual battle to get up here and present. Because this is God's work. And Satan is going to try and do as much as he can to hinder God's work. Not only in my life, but in your life. They took God's power for granted, and they were defeated. Well, chapter 8. Joshua finally gets a hold of that. He deals with the sin. But I want you to look at chapter 8, verse 1. After they dealt with it, and the Lord said unto Joshua, "Fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Take all," don't take it for granted this time, "take all the people of war with thee, and arise, go up to Ai. See, I have given unto thy hand the king of Ai and his people and his city and his land." Now they consulted with God, and now they're looking to God, and God tells them, yes, I can be with you now. I'll fight for you now. But don't take it for granted. Take all the soldiers with you. I still want you to put your all into it. But he says in chapter 8 in verse 1, basically what he is saying to Israel, try it again. Joshua a little bit leery, possibly. Last time, could we just kind of bypass Ai? Bad memories at Ai. Lord, can we just go ahead and just kind of go around Ai and then conquer the rest of the land of Canaan? But that was not God's plan. So he says, no, Ai is within my will for your life. I want you to possess the whole land of Canaan. I want the whole land of Canaan to be the promised land. I want you to in it. Don't look to bypass where you failed. Try it again. Don't get the divorce. Go back and try to fix the marriage by living the way God wants you to do it. Yeah, that's it. Don't kick the kids out and send them to somewhere else before you first of all try to do it my way. Amen. While you still have an opportunity to do it my way, while they're still under your authority, while they still are dependent upon you, turn it around. Amen. You failed miserably trying to do it your way. Why don't you start looking to do it God's way? Amen. And raise a godly seed unto the Lord. Amen. Yeah. Instead of filing bankruptcy, won't you try to turn it around? Won't you understand how God would have you to deal with your finances? And you start handling your finances the way God would have you to handle your finances, and see if God does not turn it around for you. What you need to do is try it again, but do it God's way. I love that. That's what he's telling him. You see, God wanted Israel to possess the land. Let me ask you a question. What is it that God has for you, but you have to do it God's way to get it? Can I tell you that the life of the believer is filled with blessings if you position yourself for the blessings? And there's no one that can position yourself for blessing, God's blessings upon your life other than you. Your relationship with God is determined by no one else. Now, the happiness and different things, yes, relationships, but your position, your walk with God, your closeness with God, being on speaking terms with God, having that power of God upon your life, is between you and God. Only you can limit the power of God in your life. No one else can limit the power of God in your life but you and me. And God wants to bless His children. He wants to give us good gifts. As a loving father, you want to give your own children good gifts. And God says, how much more do I want to give you good gifts? There is so many blessings associated with the Christian life. But you have to position yourself for them. What is it that God has for you that you don't have? Because you're not doing it God's way. Can I tell you what God has for all humanity to start with? That's a biblical principle that we just studied right here with Ai, the nation of Israel, and how God deals with His people. Something that God has for all humanity that the Bible says very few have is salvation. As we look to this vast world and the billions of people that are on planet Earth, God says, my will is for every one of you to be saved, have everlasting eternal life. How do you know that, preacher? Because of what God says. For God so loved the world. It's not talking about the earth. It's talking about the people of the world. That He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That is God's will. God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to this place of repentance. There's not a person on planet Earth that God does not love. There's not a person on planet Earth that Jesus did not die for. But so many of them, they don't have what God wants them to have. It's a peace that passeth all understanding. To know that I have heaven, eternity in heaven awaiting me, can I tell you, no matter what you go through in this life, that is a peace that passeth all understanding. Nothing else can give you that kind of peace. God wants you to have that. But are you headed up to Ai without what you need to win the battle? Are you trying to live your life, basically, without what you need to win the battles of life? John chapter 5. This life can be very frustrating, no doubt about it. It's a battle every day. Do you have what you need? Or are you headed up to Ai without it? John chapter 5, verse 37. Jesus teaching, He says, and the Father Himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard His voice at any time, nor seen His shape. And ye have not His word abiding in you, for whom He has sent, Him you believe not. They rejected the prophets. They rejected John the Baptist. And now they're rejecting Christ. And He says, search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come to me that ye might have life. Wow. Do you believe? You see, the first thing that you have to have in order to receive what God has for you, and the most important thing that God has for you that cost heaven the greatest sacrifices, is salvation. He wants to give it to humanity as a free gift, but it was definitely a high-priced gift. It cost Jesus Christ His life on Calvary's cross, but more than that, it caused something that had never happened in all of eternity before and never will happen again, a brief separation from God the Father, from God the Son, when He took on the sins of humanity on the cross of Calvary. We will not understand how great a cost that was until we get to heaven. But there was a great price paid. And God says, I want you to have it. But in order for you to have it, the first qualification for salvation is belief. We're living in a world, especially today in this 21st century America, that is trying to put a disbelief in the hearts and the minds of all people, especially children. They want to put a disbelief and say that there really is no God, and there is no plan for morality, and there is no plan for how to live your life. Live it however you want to live it. Be whoever you want to be. Don't even think about God. We're not going to allow the prayer to be in school. We're not going to look to the Bible. We're going to take the Bible out of the government. We're going to do everything we can to try to deprogram the minds of people to think that there is no God. But God says the most important thing is for you to believe that there is. God has instilled within you a desire for Him. So my question is this morning, do you believe? If you believe, then it will do something inside of you. You can believe and still reject, but do you believe that there is a God? Do you believe, first of all, if there is a God, you have to believe that there is a God and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. If you truly believe that God is real, if you believe that heaven is real and hell is real, if you truly believe that, then you will want what He has for you. You have to believe in your heart. If you don't believe in your heart, you can't be saved. No matter what word you say, no matter what program you went through, no matter what church you were a member of, if you don't believe in Jesus Christ, if you do not believe that He died for your sins and there's only one way to heaven, and that's through His precious blood, if you do not believe, you cannot be saved. But God wants you to be saved. But you have to believe. Do you believe? It's a question you have to ask yourself. Is there fruit in my heart and mind that reveal to me that I do believe in God? Once you believe in Jesus Christ as the only Savior of the world, once you believe that He died for your sins, you see yourself as a lost person in need of a Savior. If you don't see yourself as ever being lost, you will never look to be saved. If you see yourself as a lost sinner and the only hope that you had of being reconciled to God is through Jesus Christ coming and paying a sin debt that you owe and could not pay, He paid your sin debt for you. Amen. Believe that. And once you believe that, now it takes you to the next step of receiving what He has for you. No one else can receive it for you. Parent, you cannot receive it and then hand it to your child. Husband, you cannot receive it and hand it to your wife. Wife, you can't receive it and hand it to your husband. Everyone individually has to believe in their own heart and they have to confess with their own mouth. Call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. Romans chapter 10, look real quickly there with me. And almost done, so don't lose me. Stay with me. Romans chapter 10. Verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You believe in your heart, you confess with your mouth. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. That's whosoever. Amen. That means that's anyone in here today. Amen. And that's anyone on this planet Earth today. Have you received? Do you believe, first of all? You say, yes, I believe. Then, have you received? That's salvation. What God has for you. Well, I've been in church all my whole life. I was raised in a Christian home, and it just didn't work out for me. Listen to me. Try it again. Only this time, stop trying to live the Christian life without the power to live the Christian life. Don't go up to AI without the hand of God upon your life. Get saved. And once you know that you're saved, then commit to living the Christian life based on the power that God will give you. Amen. What God has for you, He has for you salvation. He also, and I'm going to close with this, but He has for us an opportunity to be His disciple. Wow. Think about it. In whatever field that you go into, whatever occupation, if you had an opportunity to be trained by the very best in that field, would you not be excited? Would you not give whatever you'd have to in order to have that opportunity to be trained by the most notable, the best in that field? And you would think it a privilege. Jesus says, you can be my disciple. If you truly want to be the Christian that God wants you to be, listen to me. You have an opportunity to be discipled by Jesus Christ Himself. Matthew chapter 8. I'm sorry, Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. Mark in chapter 8, verse 34, he says this. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples, those that he's already discipled, now he calls anybody and everybody. When he called the people unto him with the disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. For whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's sake, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh into the glory of his Father with the holy angels. I can be a disciple of Jesus Christ. God's plan is for all who get saved to follow Him. And there's tremendous blessings in knowing that I'm following the Lord. You can first of all start out with identifying with Him through believer's baptism. And when you understand it, what a blessing it is to say, I want to stand before all the world because I'm not ashamed of my Savior. I want people to understand that I want to publicly identify with Him in His death, in His burial, in His resurrection. That is a good start to following Him and being one of His disciples. Amen. Identify with Him. Don't be ashamed of Him. If you've been saved and you've never been scripturally baptized, I'm not talking about a sprinkling. I'm not talking about a baptism before you got saved. That was nothing but getting wet. That was not how God says to do it. God says it takes a believer. It takes somebody who has already put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ and has been washed in the blood of Christ. Salvation. It is not dependent upon salvation. Dependent upon baptism. Salvation is dependent upon what Jesus Christ has done for you. And when you receive it, it's a free gift. But once I've received it, and you understand it and you believe it, you can't hold me back. I'm going to identify with the one who died for me. Baptism. Church membership. Oh, I've tried that before, and there's just no churches out there that want to do things the way I want them to be done. Can I tell you? It's not all about you. Why not look to find one that's doing things the way that God established them to do it? I don't know about you. I don't want to go up to AI without the power of God upon my life. And God has established a church, and the church ought to be a very important part of every believer's life because being a part of that church is getting you an opportunity to be spiritually fed, an opportunity to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ, an opportunity to use the gifts that God has given to you, not to advance the world, but to advance the cause of Christ. And being a part of the body of Christ and serving in that body of Christ brings to you the blessings that God has for you through His church. But no, if you don't have that, you're going up to AI without the power of God upon your life? How's that going to work out for you? Maybe the same way it worked out for Israel. A humiliating defeat. Yeah. You might say, I've tried it before. But maybe it was like Israel going to Ai. And God says, no. Don't bypass it. Do it again. Only this time, do it the way I tell you to do it. They had a tremendous victory. They had the joy of the Lord returned to the camp. Matter of fact, in closing, Joshua chapter 8, this is what Joshua does after the victory. We're going to close here. Joshua chapter 8, verse 34 and verse 35. And afterward, he read all the words of the law, the blessings and the cursings, according to all that is written in the book of the law. Gets all the congregation together and he says, listen to me. We will not go up to Ai or any other land without the power of God ever again. We're going to study it. We're going to know exactly what God says to do and going to study it and know exactly what God says not to do. There was not a word of all that Moses commanded, that's all they had, which Joshua read not before all the congregation of Israel. He read the first five books of the Old Testament, the entire Pentateuch. Yeah, from Genesis chapter 1 all the way through, he read every word that they had. The Bible says, before all the congregation of Israel, with the women and the little ones, and the strangers that were conversant among them. He learned a lesson, and he was dead set on doing things God's way. I don't know what's going on in your life today. This message would have been preached whether you would have come or not. But God knew. And God has, I trust he's used it to speak to you. Commit to doing it God's way. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. How's God spoke to you? I'm not talking about what I've said. I just preached the word of God as God would have me to. But how did God take that word preached and how did his spirit bear witness with your spirit? That's what you need to hold on to. If you're here today and you do not know beyond the shadow of a doubt that you're saved and heaven bound, don't leave here without getting that taken care of. All you have to do is come to this altar. There'll be somebody to take a Bible and show you exactly what God says you must do to be saved. You can be saved today. If you've been saved, don't hesitate in identifying with him through believer's baptism. Don't hesitate by being committing yourself to serve through his church. It's what God has for you, and you can have it. Don't leave here without it. Father, we love you. Thank you for the truth of your word. Pray that you'd work now in our midst. Help everyone to search their own hearts and make whatever decisions that you would have them to make today. In Jesus' name.